Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, we human beings have something about new beginnings, fresh starts. They are very significant for us. They bring us much joy and much hope and much expectation. You can see this in the countdown to New Year's Eve, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year, a fresh, clean sheet, a whole new beginning, a year that has had nothing happen yet but is full of promise and expectation. You can see it also in our response to the birth of a new baby. Here is a new life, something fresh that is just beginning with all kinds of possibilities and potentials opening up in front of this little human being. I must admit that the small joy or thrill of new beginnings also comes to me in a much more prosaic way, and that is whenever I get to start a new journal. I open it up and I look at that first page of fresh white paper. I don't know if anyone's kind of connecting with me here. I'm a bit of a stationery geek. Oh yes, Amelia as well. You know, that the pleasure of opening a new packet of pens or pencils and yes, someone else knows what I'm talking about. And I got to do that recently, by the way. New beginnings are very significant for us as human beings. And the very first word of Mark's gospel is beginning. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the way that Mark's gospel starts off. This resonates with several other places in the Bible where the word beginning is present. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Those famous words from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Or John's gospel, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. God is doing something new. Something completely fresh, something that has never been done before. And beginnings are woven all through the Gospel of Mark and all through the good news of Jesus. There are the new beginnings for the people who come to John to be baptized in the Jordan. As they confess their sins, as they're plunged under the water, they have their sins forgiven, washed away, clean. They emerge as a new person, a new beginning, opening up before them. There is the beginning of the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus comes into this world to bring. There are the beginnings of healing and health and salvation and forgiveness and new life, which is the essence of Jesus' gift to us. But Mark is not talking only of John the Baptist when he writes the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, the whole gospel is the beginning of the good news. And so the beginning only ends with the women coming from the tomb, trembling and afraid to tell anyone that Jesus is risen from the dead. This good news continues into the lives of those who hear and receive it today. And this good news still has the power to bring new beginnings and a fresh start to all of those who will receive it. So Mark writes, "It is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him.'" This beginning stretches both backwards in history and also forwards in time to our very own time. It's a beginning that has been promised by God and has been prepared for many, many centuries. And Mark, in this quotation, actually is quoting from two different books of prophets in the Old Testament. And the first one, surprisingly, is not Isaiah, but the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, we find these words: "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." Very clear prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist, the messenger, and of Jesus, who came to the temple and revealed himself and his authority. But Malachi continues in chapter 3, verse 2, "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." Interesting, the theme of judgment and purification comes through in Malachi's prophecy. The other prophet whom Mark quotes is the prophet Isaiah. And we heard the words in the reading from Isaiah chapter 40 before. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." Wonderful words of comfort and grace and forgiveness. The two are really two sides of the one coin: judgment and grace. Comfort and exhortation. And the two of them belong together. And we see that in the preaching of both Jesus and of John the Baptist. Both Jesus and John the Baptist reserved their most excoriating words of judgment, interestingly, for the respectable religious people of the day. But they gave God's promise of comfort and forgiveness and grace to those who knew that they needed a Savior, who knew that they were not worthy, who were willing to confess, "Yes, I have sinned and I need God's forgiveness." John's message is, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. It's a message of repentance and a message of forgiveness. It's a tricky thing, this repentance. It's very tempting to think, "Ah, yes, I know some people who should repent. They need to hear this message, absolutely." And in fact, you can ask any pastor, and I'm sure they'll tell you that it's a reasonably common experience when they preach a particularly fiery sermon to have the parishioners come out and shake them by the hand and say, "Thank you so much for that message, Pastor. You really preached it today. They really needed to hear that." But John's call and Jesus' call to repentance is one that calls to me. If Jesus is coming to the temple of my heart, are there crooked ways in here that he needs to make straight? Does Jesus have to hack his way through the jungles of lust? Does he have to bulldoze the mountains of pride that I seem to build in my life? Does he need to find something to fill in the valleys of despair and doubt that so often seem to come across my path? What do I need to repent of? What crooked ways in my life need to be straightened? And so it was the soldiers and the tax collectors, the prostitutes and their clients, who knew that they needed a Saviour, who accepted John's message, who accepted the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's very much the same today. As those people were plunged under the icy waters of the Jordan River, which was coming down from the snowmelt in the mountains, they came out, sins forgiven, new beginning, opening up before them, washed clean. They were not respectable. They had confessed their sins publicly. But they did have a new beginning. John's message does not point to himself, it points to another. I'll just find those words that he says. This was John's message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John is saying, I'm just the messenger. He's also saying, I'm not worthy. Not worthy even to stoop down and untie the sandal straps of the one who is coming. And in a society where there was no sewerage system and where the animals shared the roads with people, it's not hard to imagine that reaching down to untie someone's sandal straps is pretty much the lowest and dirtiest job that can be imagined. John points to Jesus, to the one who is coming. He says, don't look at me, look at him. Don't even look at yourself, look at Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, the truth is that I'm not worthy either of Jesus. I'm not worthy to serve him. I'm not worthy to untie his bootstrap. And yet, Jesus brings the good news to me and to you anyway. He comes to those who recognize that they're not worthy. He comes to those who know that they need a Savior. And he brings the good news of the coming of God's kingdom. John promises that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit, plunge us under the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happens in our own baptism. New beginnings. The pouring out of God's forgiveness and grace and life and healing and Holy Spirit. Not because we're worthy, but because he loves us and he wants to bring us good news. The coming of the kingdom of God, the forgiveness, the life and salvation that brings a new beginning. I'm not worthy. Thank God that Jesus comes to me and comes to you anyway with God's grace, with his forgiveness, with his new life, and with the new beginning that only the good news can bring. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord and lead you into repentance and faith. Amen.